stage of great soul, Mahatma. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma, or great soul, develops through association with other Mahatmas, or pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They're simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They're not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna in Krishna consciousness. They're always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. So the verse again. Mahatmanas tumam arta daiva prakriti rashita vajanchinanya manaso gyata bhutadin avyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible.
Indian cigarette. Of course, any cigarette is important.
and particularly not spiritual things. In fact, Sri Prabhupada told of his childhood when his father was a businessman, but just a small scale businessman. He had a small cloth shop selling dhotis and kurtas and so on. And it was just very small, it's a very small little shop. And just to maintain the family, that was all. But his father, Chirugalpa's father, was very pious and very charitably minded. So every day, actually, I don't know if you're aware, you householders, I don't know if you're aware that it is the duty, it is one of the ideal, one of the duties at least of ideal householders, that they're very charitable, and particularly there is a practice that householders, before they have lunch, they're meant to walk out on the street and shout out, "Is there anyone hungry out here?" And if there is, oh, they must entertain them and feed them. So Srila Prabhupada said that throughout his whole childhood, or even throughout his whole life, before he moved out of home as a young adult. So for all those years, Srila Prabhupada said, he could not remember one day when there was not at least one guest. And guest does not mean your friend or your relative. It means some unknown person whose father had just been invited in on the street. This was every day. So, what do you think, householders? And sometimes there were three or four of these people. But every day, there was never less than one. So Srila Prabhupada said, the particular point I'm getting at here, in regard to the Madhavas, Srila Prabhupada said that in that district, or that neighborhood at least, that suburb of Calcutta, that there were professional beggars, some professional beggars. And he said, Prabhupada said that there was one man, and he would see that man out on the street, some busy thoroughfare. Every day that man was out there, dressed in saffron, begging. But later he would see him dressed as an ordinary person going to work. So he was just masquerading like that and trying to take advantage of people's sympathies of being charitably disposed, and particularly towards the nuncians, people who wear saffron cloth. But otherwise, he had some occupation or other in which he was also trying to earn. So he was very enterprising. But actually, it's not very good. People were thinking, this is a Mahatma. So, actually, in the following verse here, chapter 9, verse 14, Srila Prabhupada, or rather Lord Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, they explain further the qualifications of a Mahatma, or great soul. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, you cannot manufacture a Mahatma by rubber stamping an ordinary man. No. You just get some rubber stamp made in the stationer's shop. It says Mahatma. And then you go and stamp someone on the forehead. And everyone looks, oh, Mahatma. Must be a Mahatma. But you cannot manufacture mahatmas or great souls simply with a rubber stamp. No, it's a different thing. So here, Lokrishna is explaining, what is a mahatma? What is a great soul? So, such a person, Prabhupada says here, that being mahatma is not under the control of the material nature. The mahatma is under the spiritual nature, protected by the spiritual nature. Yes. And as such, he is not involved on the material platform. He's not involved in material activities at all. Only spiritual activities of devotional service, pure devotional service. And he actually is being guided in that way. And Srila Prabhupada says here, such a person will never be attracted by the material nature, inferior material nature, will never be concerned, even with demigods, those great controllers of this material universe. And what to speak of some ordinary human being? They'll certainly not be interested in some ordinary human being, or at least in the sense of being reverential or worshipping some ordinary human being who is controlled by the material nature. So this is a mahatma. Mahatma means a person who is independent of the material nature and is absorbed on the spiritual platform, the pure platform of eternal life, full of bliss and full of knowledge. But otherwise, if a person is an ordinary person, just on the material platform, identifying with the material body and attached and attracted to so many things within this material world, such a person is not really a mahatma or a great soul. Yes, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains repeatedly what is the nature of this material world. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha vinashana. That what is material life? It is a life of birth, death, old age, and disease. These are the fundamental conditions of life on the material platform. So we have these material bodies. These material bodies have been born, and they're prone to become diseased, and they certainly age, and sooner or later we'll all come to the point of death. So these material bodies, they're part of that ignorant condition of material existence. So anyone who is identified with the material body, that I am a man, you are a woman, I am an Indian, you are American, and you are Chinese, and you are this age, you are that age. If we are identified, if anyone is identified with the material body, then they cannot actually be conformed with this definition, with this description given here of what is a mahatma or a great soul. Because the great soul, diving prakritim ashrita, Krishna has said here, the great soul is under the protection of the divine energy, the spiritual energy. So they'll be off the material platform and on the spiritual platform, free from the control of the material body, not identifying with the material body, and not absorbed in activities simply for the maintenance and pleasure of the material body. This is another. But engaged rather in activities on the spiritual platform, what does that mean? Engaged in activities of devotional service. So, Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, here in this verse, is referring to the spiritual energy. We also refer to the material energy. Bhumiyaho malovayo kamalamudhiravacha ahankara vitiyate vinaprakritya ashtada. Earlier, in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, these eight comprise my separated material energies. So Krishna is talking there of the material energy, and in this verse he's talking of the spiritual energy. Spiritual energy is composed of Sat, Chit, Ananda, eternity, consciousness, and bliss. So these are two energies of the Supreme Lord. And either, as we have mentioned, either we may be under the control of the material energy, identified with the material body, engaged in activities for the satisfaction of the material body, and entangled in the materialistic way of life in general, or we may be under the control, under the protection of the spiritual energy, that eternal potency, which has the capacity to lift us. It is an energy. It is not just some sort of insubstantial thing. It has potency. So if you come under the shelter of that divine energy, that spiritual energy, then you can be lifted out from the control of the material energy, that degrading material energy. So these are two energies then. This material world is made of material energy. The spiritual world is made of spiritual energy. So where do we fit in? We are not material. But it seems we are not exactly part of the spiritual energy directly, because the idea is for us to come under the protection of that spiritual energy. So in other words, it is another thing. It is a separate thing from us. So what are we? What is our position really? Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes that we are the marginal potency in between spiritual and material. Yes. So what does that mean, marginal potency? Lord Chaitanya gives us some idea. Jivera Surupaya Krishna Nityadas. That the living entity, the jiva, the soul, is eternally the servant of Krishna. Krishna Tatasta Shakti Ved Ave Prakash. Being marginal potency, simultaneously one with the Lord, and at the same time different from the Lord. So what does that mean? Sounds perhaps a little complex. One with the Lord, but different from the Lord. So that means the real one in quality. We have the same spiritual nature, but in quantity we're very small. And because we're very small, we can be overpowered by the material energy. So even though we are spiritual by nature, but we're considered to be in a marginal position, because we can be influenced by the material nature. Yes. So that is our position. A little bit like in between. At least we have that marginal tendency that we can gravitate away from our natural position. Our natural position under the shelter of the material, of the spiritual energy. We can gravitate away from that and fall under the control of the material energy. So within this world, we see generally everyone, or the great majority of people, they are under the control of the material nature, and we see that in terms of how they identify with the body. They're thinking, I am here in this country. People are thinking, I am South African. Previously, we had the apartheid government, and people were very much into thinking that we are white, we are Indian, we are African, or we are a mixture, or something like that. Whatever. But fixed in that type of consciousness. So what does that mean? It means under the control of the material nature. Although actually we are something different, as we have described. We're spiritual in nature. But we come under the control of the material nature. Yes. Now, if our position as being in this material world with these bodies, if this was actually our natural position, if we were actually these bodies, then, if this was our natural position, we would expect to fit in very nicely. If we were these material bodies, if we were really part of this material world, this would be our natural place. It would be very nice. We would be completely at home. But we are not completely at home. Rather, in this material world, we are struggling to make a living, struggling to survive, struggling with all sorts of conditions on the material platform. This is a fact. Having to work hard in the rat race. In other words, people are accepting that we're becoming like rats. We're being degraded by this whole process. Yes. So, if this was really our natural home, we would expect to be very comfortable, everything would be very nice, but it's not. Rather, life is a big struggle. So in very simple terms, this is showing us that we do not really belong here. We belong elsewhere. We are in an unnatural position here. And therefore, it is always a struggle. It's always difficult to find some nice, happy situation. And there is no question of finding a happy, permanent situation. Even if you find a happy situation for a little while, shortly some problems will arise. So this indicates that this is not our natural home, this material world. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would give the example of oil and water. Oil and water are mutually exclusive. They repel each other. They can never mix. Like something, oil or petrol, it'll come to the surface and the water will stay So then you may think, let me try to fix them together. So you may shake them or somehow stir them. And then they may appear to mix together, and then you look at it and you think, see, now the oil and water have merged. They're no longer independent, separate entities from each other. Now they're one. But you just wait. Just a few seconds, and the oil will come to the surface again. And it's always like that, because their natures are different. So similarly, in material life, we are something like the oil, we could say, a higher nature. A higher nature. And the material energy is something like the water. So we don't really fit in. But we may try to work very hard and strive very enthusiastically to find some place in material life where everything is very nice and we're completely at home. So very vigorously we may try, just like you may vigorously shake the oil and water. And apparently, the oil and water apparently may mix momentarily. So it may appear that we can find some place in the material world, but just now, circumstances change, and we find, no, that actually now I'm not comfortable here. You get sick, or someone comes and disturbs you, or something like this. You're sitting on the beach, your holiday. Thinking, how nice. This is where I belong. I belong on the beach. So then you lie there all day. Then the evening comes, but you're sunburned. So you thought you had found your place, your natural position, lying on the beach. But then after a while, you find, no, I don't really fit in here. There are problems here. So it's like that. Material life is like that. Hence. So why is it like that? It is like that because we have a different nature. We have a different nature, a spiritual nature. Although we're very small spiritual entities, and we have a marginal tendency, we may become confused, in other words, and go in the wrong direction into this material world. But actually, we belong in the spiritual realm. And when we come under the control, under the protection of the spiritual nature, then actually we become satisfied and very happy. Yes. So, this is the position of the Mahatmas, the great souls. They're fully engaged in devotional service, spiritual activity, service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as God is completely spiritual, so service performed to them, like glorifying them, or offering food to him, or so many things done for his pleasure as service. So they're also spiritual. So this is the nature of the Mahatmas, the great souls. They are fully engaged in devotional service, serving the Lord. As a result, they're under the protection of the divine. So they do not become entangled on the material platform, thinking that this is where I belong, this is my natural position. And they go beyond their material bodies. Krishna makes this point at the beginning of Bhagavad-gita. That the embodied soul within this body
goes through childhood, youth, old age, and then finally goes into another body of death. But Krishna says, the sober person, spiritually conscious person, is not bewildered by that change, even the change at the time of death. The ordinary person is very bewildered at the time of death, very confused, thinking, I am dying. What is happening to me? So it's very distressing. But Krishna says that the Mahatmas, sober persons, spiritually conscious persons, they're not bewildered by that change. And they are protected. They're protected by the spiritual nature, the spiritual energy. So, we should also try to do like that. We are all, everyone in this world is facing many problems. But if we want to become free from these problems, then we should not just adopt some material solution. Material solution generally means you try to solve one problem by doing something which creates another problem. And it may even be worse. In fact, it often is, as they say, from the frying pan into the fire. Many of the solutions that are presented for problems today are worse than the problems. Yes. So, we should try and do like this. Take shelter under the spiritual nature, under the spiritual energy. Get that protection of the spiritual energy. And in this way, we'll be protected. We'll become free from all those impositions and difficulties just being thrown at us by the material nature. We can transcend those things, come to the spiritual platform, and be completely happy and satisfied. Eternally, even beyond the death of this body, eternally happy in Krishna consciousness. Well, we have a few questions, it seems. I also wanted to read a little something. Gee, here's an interesting question. What's the dancing all about? Gee, well, that's a big question. Well, I don't know really what dancing very much. When people become happy, they may dance. Generally, you don't find people who are distressed, stressed out, in anxiety. Dance, do you? But we generally find people who are very jolly. Yes, very happy they dance. So that's what the dancing is all about. When you come under the protection of that spiritual nature, that higher nature, which is blissful, as opposed to this material nature, which is temporary, and produces a lot of misery, culminating in death, the ultimate misery. Yes, so when you come under the protection of that higher, blissful, spiritual nature, oh, you become very happy. Very happy indeed. So you want to dance, and you may even not be able to stop yourself from dancing. So that the thing is, you have to get under the protection of the spiritual nature. Yes. In other words, like when we chant, then you have to chant also and try to get into it. Don't just stand there like a person on the outside looking in. You know? that perspective.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta should have known that spiritual master. He said that if you want to understand what honey tastes, what honey is, you have to taste it. You just look at the bottle. You may be able to say something, that it is some sort of opaque, semi-solid substance or something like that, which is correct. But if you really want to appreciate honey for what it is, you have to taste it. So if you want to know what the dancing and the chanting and song is all about, get into it, give it a try, and see what happens. See if you can become useful. First of all, you try chanting nicely, and then you'll find that suddenly you'll be dancing. It's very nice. You've spoken of material life as if it's not important. But aren't I supposed to take care of my material circumstances like working, house, looking after my family, etc., since I am in the material world? Well, we're not suggesting that you give these things up altogether, but we are certainly suggesting that you don't become totally absorbed in them, to the exclusion of your spiritual life, and just get lost in this material world, and at the end of this life you won't know where you're going. Not that. That's not very nice. But rather, we should take everything in our lives and try to spiritualize things. Yes, spiritualize your family by getting them to chant and be devotees. Spiritualize your house by having Krishna there, pictures of Krishna, nice spiritual atmosphere and so on. Like this, you can spiritualize your whole situation. But don't think that I must just work myself into the ground and get totally, completely wound up in the whole thing, materialistic life. And like this is necessary, it's not necessary. Okay. Let me just read something from Srimati Goswami quickly. Tomorrow is the disappearance day of Srimati Goswami. So I thought we could read just one or two verses written by him. He wrote so many things, 400,000 verses he wrote. That is an awful lot. So, here's a verse. See, we're talking about material life, spiritual life, and sort of how to bridge the gap. Netram shrutram chitam apyanyada yat. Tucham yasmin bhati krishnam vinam tu. Yesham tasmas chakshishas chakshoye va. Shroti bharta pashya drishya vinati. If they do not see, hear, or think of Lord Krishna, then the eyes, ears, mind, and every other sense are all pathetic and worthless. How's that? Does that encourage you? Look. In the Vedas, it is said, Krishna is the eye of every eye. So as much as possible, we should think of Krishna and hear about Krishna. When you're at work in the factory, that lovely factory, pressing the buttons and pulling the levers and lifting the boxes and just all sorts of
done.
When you could have a walk and play some tape about Krishna, you could do it. It's possible. And at home, you can have some nice pictures, just like here. So with your eyes, you can see Krishna, instead of sitting at night watching the bold and the beautiful. So he says, now, let us consider this. He's now talking about the spiritual world. The saintly devotees may find a home in the spiritual world. A world where the wonderful and colorful gates are like great palaces. A lotus-like world where many glorious pathways converge on the world. A world where many great and very beautiful palaces may be seen together. Palaces all desire to attain. A world where many great thrones touched by the feet of the powerful lion-like Krishna, make the eyes open wide with wonder. A world of many hundreds of thousands of secret places for confidential pastimes. A world that showers hundreds of pleasures. A world of places where, now just listen to this, this is a bit tricky, but it's very nice. A world with places where the metaphors in metaphor poetry, in other words, drawing comparisons, you could say, like Krishna has lotus feet, lotus eyes. This is a type of a metaphor. So places where the metaphors and metaphor poetry are all proved to be true. A world where not only metaphors, but also the hymns in poetry filled with hymns may be seen directly. A world where pure-hearted souls manifest a host of spiritual qualities. A world where all these glories are seen and proved to be true. A world... Just give me 1 minute and I'll just finish this verse. This is another good one. Just listen to this. A world where foolish material ideas are rejected and mocked. A world where Lord Krishna, who is the moon of Nanda Maharaja's family, who is supremely happy and independent, and whose handsome glory is a flood of bliss, fills the chikora bird eyes of the devotees. That's a metaphor. Chikora bird eyes of the devotees. Chikora is a bird who will only drink water which is falling down a stream. Will not drink water on the ground. So the chikora birds, they're always following the rain clouds. And they drink the rain as it falls. So, the eyes of the devotees are described by Jiva Goswami as chikora bird eyes. They're only interested in seeing Krishna. Because everything else, including the bold and the beautiful, is just uninteresting. So, this handsome glory is a flood of bliss, which fills the chikora bird eyes of the devotees with the nectar of his splendid form. He is the greatest festival of all festivals of bliss. So this is Krishna, and this is the world of Krishna, spiritual world, as presented by Jiva Goswami, whose disappearance day it is tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Jiva Jiva Goswami, Jiva.